direction where there is fault. We are the flavor bringing the salt. Every darkness we came to assault. We were made to set it ablaze, breaking chains to pray and praise. We were made to set it ablaze, breaking chains to pray and praise. So let's set it ablaze.
We're going to carry on with Love is Kind, and we've been doing Love is Patient, Love is Kind. We're obviously looking at 1 Corinthians 13, and we know that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So for God so loved that he gave for us. And you know, if we look at the term love, we use it so loosely. I say I love biltong, I love perfume, I love getting my feet done, I love my husband. How did they all get into the same category? Biltong and my husband, how did they get into the same category? But you see, love is not an emotion. It is a state of being that can only but result in an action. So godly love comes from a pure heart, devoid of an ulterior motive. Love is something we do. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1 says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love for others growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. When it's all about me, when it's all about what I want, then we become a noise. That is how we become to other people. When we open our mouths, a noise comes out because we have an agenda. And it sounds like this, and I have not had chance to sit. Do you have a sound? Awesome. Put it loud. It sounds like this. Did you hear me telling you I love you? No, because all you could hear was a clanging noise because there's an agenda. But 1 Corinthians 13 verse 2 says, and if I have the gift of prophecy and I speak a new message from God to the people and I understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith that I can remove the mountains, but I do not have love, reaching out to others, I'm nothing. I don't know if you just heard what the Bible compared us being able to do, but if we are void of love, we are nothing. If you are oh so spiritual, but you have no love, you are nothing. Has someone ever spoken to you, and what they were saying to you was 100% correct, but their faces were filled with so much disgust as they were speaking to you that you did not get it? That's a lack of love. And that's what we are not to do. Let's not do that to others. Let's not speak like that to our children. Let's not speak like that to other people's children. Let's not speak like that to our spouses. You know, where we actually look like we have a chili in our mouth. There is noise when we are like that. There is interference. You know, we may be able to preach well, or we may be able to sing well, but if we have no love, we love our preaching and we love our singing, but we are nothing because we don't love people. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 3 says, if I give all my possessions to the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burnt, wow, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. You see, we can give, but if we don't do it in love, it means nothing. Does this not challenge us on every level? I once heard the testimony. I heard it from the person themselves. It's not from someone who told someone who told someone. But I once heard the testimony of a great man who said that God had called him from America to come to South Africa. He believed that they could make a difference here in the midst of all the problems that we had. And him and his family moved to South Africa. And they believed they could step in and help the nation. But they got overwhelmed with the need that they saw. No matter what robot, and he said this, no matter what robot you go to, there is someone there begging. And it wasn't long before they flew back to America. And you know, it made me just think of my parents. My parents are both not alive, but it made me think of my parents. Whether my parents had a lot or whether my parents had very little. If I was traveling in the car with them, if I was driving and my dad was next to me, or if my mom was driving, my dad always had change in his pocket. And the moment we stopped at a robot, he would put his hand in his pocket and pull out change and give it to me to give to the person in need. You see, when we love like that, we give and it means something. But when we give like this, it means nothing. So many give their money, but they don't give of themselves. They don't give of their time because they lack love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4 says, the first part of verse 4 says, love endures with patience and serenity. This is the ability to bear with one another and not tolerate one another. It is long-suffering. It is to suffer with one another for a long time, forever. The quote I saw this week, also someone I respect, a wonderful Christian person, but they put this quote up, and please, I'm just giving you examples, I'm not judging. But this quote, it said, many contentious people who refuse to change must not continue to have access to you. And I looked at that and I thought, that doesn't sound right to me. A contentious person is a person who argues a lot, a person who fights a lot. It is a person who's generally negative, who's complaining, a person who you're not going to enjoy having around you that much because they're going to always bring the negative and not the solution. But it says there, many contentious people who refuse to change must not continue to have access to you. And you know, when I looked at that, I thought, that doesn't look right to me. I can remember showing it to Gavin and saying, what do you think? And he said to me, well, Jesus wouldn't have said that. Jesus wouldn't have said that. You see, it's easy to get rid of the difficult people and just live in our box. But that means nothing to God because he wants us to love everyone. And so if Jesus had to think like that, our unbelieving family would be going to hell. We would cut off family completely. Let's be honest. Jesus said a prophet is not known in his own hometown, which means we would get rejected by our family very easily. But now imagine if we thought like that. Family can be the rudest, but our response is always to be love is kind. Kayla and I were on the phone. I didn't get a chance to tell her I'm sharing this, but Kayla and I were on the phone this week. She was asking me something, and every time I tried to speak, she spoke over me. And eventually, I was so frustrated with her, I actually gave her a big shout over her talking, and I put the phone down. And the moment I did that, I was like, the Holy Spirit was like, really? I was like, I know, it was wrong. And she then messaged me and said, thanks for putting the phone down. And I wanted to say pleasure, because I was in the flesh. But I didn't respond. I was busy with Encounter, awesome, crazy thing. And I'm sharing this with you deliberately. So she then phoned me back. It wasn't long after that. She phoned me back and she apologized. And I apologized too. And then I explained in patience what she needed to do. And she listened. But that is what I actually should have done in the first place. You see, why am I sharing this? Because I don't always do things perfectly. But God always gives us the opportunity to fix things perfectly. And so, as South Africans, we're really not great at standing in queues, are we? Whether it's on the road or in the shop or in a government institution, we lose it pretty quickly. Is it okay if I say we, or should I be saying I? Yes, I thought so. Just checking how spiritual you were this morning. And, you know, when we're standing in a long queue, we, instead of beginning to complain, should be saying to God, Lord, I'm here for a reason. And there is someone that you need me to minister to. Give me wisdom and show me. How different is that to beginning to complain? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, the other part, it says, love is kind and thoughtful. So patience and kindness are twins. They work together. It's like the man who cried out every day, Lord God, use me. And then 3 months later, he cried out, Lord, everyone is using me. God is using you. And how do we do the difficult situations? We absorb it with patience. Sometimes the patience is 16 years. Sometimes the patience is 32 years. I know that of a woman who prayed for her husband for 16 years. He was an alcoholic and their home life was very, very desperate. After 16 years, he radically gave his life to Jesus. Thank God for her patience. I know of my own mom-in-law who prayed for her father for 32 years. I think that's correct. Yes. Her grandfather, sorry, for 32 years. And a week or two or something like that before he died, he gave his life to Jesus. Thank God for her patience. And so we are able to be kind even to our enemies. Yes, I did say that. See, in that moment of argument with Kayla, she was not my enemy. She was my daughter, which I had a little altercation with. And then we want to fix that. But what about the people that are contentious? But we are meant to be kind even to our enemies. You see, our world should be getting bigger and bigger, not smaller and smaller. We can give something unkindly and do that, sir. And then we have an issue with generosity. It's a spirit. It's who you are. And God has called us for the welfare of others. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, God has called me to work for the welfare of others. Yes, our job, our calling is for the well-being of others. That might be a wake-up call. It is not for us. It is for the well-being of others. If Jesus said, go the extra mile, what was he saying? Double up, like the double whopper. He was saying, double up. Will you allow money to destroy a friendship? Will you allow 10,000 rand to destroy a friendship? We've got to have the attitude that there is nothing that you can take from me. There is nothing you can take from me. And because why? To live is Christ and to die is gain. And if you kill me, then bam, I got you. Why? Because we are resurrected after the grave. And so our value is with Jesus. God gave everything. He set the standard. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And so why? Why does God want us to do that? To turn us away from sin. When my children were small, I would tell them not to run in the road. I didn't tell them that because I wanted to test whether they were good children or bad children. I did that to keep them alive, children. It was a matter of life and death. If they ran in the road, there would be trouble for them. And it's the same. God gives us instructions not to see whether we are good children or bad children. He does that to give us life. The word says an abundant life. He wants to give us everything. The Bible tells us to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. We cannot get hard-hearted. This story blows me. Jesus loved Judas. Judas was his enemy. He stole from Jesus. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. And yet, even on the night that he would be betrayed, Jesus had supper with him. Me? I would have sent Judas a WhatsApp. I would have said, hi, Judas. We both know what you're going to do. After all I've done for you, we both know how much you've been stealing, you thief. And then I would have crossed it out, but left it there. I would like to uninvite you to supper tonight. And after this message, I'm going to block you forever. And then put a bomb and a knife and a syringe and an axe. You know, all the emoticons, because I speak in emoticons. And then I would have written, how could you? And 100 crying faces. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. He would have washed, he washed his feet. He shared his supper. He allowed Judas to sit there to hear his last, whatever his last words were to his disciples. We know Judas left before that. But Jesus wouldn't have said, Judas, sorry, I need to speak to the 11. Can you leave now? If he had chosen to stay, he would have heard. But isn't that the favor of God? His word says that he prepared a table in the midst of our enemies so that our cup can run over. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 24 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Philippians 2 verse 4 says, not looking to our own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. It goes beyond our home. It goes beyond our children. 2 Timothy 2 verse 24 says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. Resentful is a killer of relationships. Resentment destroys relationships. We need to ensure that our hearts remain soft. If we're filled with resentment, we'll say, if I've told you once, I've told you 100 times. Or how many times must I tell you? Well, God tells us over and over again, day in and day out, year in after year out, decade after decade, because he loves us. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy in this verse. The word easy is the same word that is used in 1 Corinthians 13 for kind. As Jesus carries our burdens, we can do the same for others. So when we ask to carry someone else's burdens, the temptation is, you just don't understand how I've got my own load here. But God is saying, I'll carry your load. You carry theirs because you know how to carry their load. They don't know how to give it to me yet. But as we walk with them, we begin to teach them to lay it at the cross, to make the exchange at the cross. And you know, he will always increase our capacity so that we can carry others while he carries ours. Like a taxi, there's always place for one more. Our hearts are big enough to carry more and more and more. And it's not an emotion, it's an action. And it starts at home. The Bible tells husbands to love their wives. The Bible tells wives to love and to submit to their husbands, to our children. Marriage is not a 50-50. It's the biggest lie. That's why there are so many divorces. Marriage is to give 100% of ourselves. It's just give and give and give, and the only thing we take is the brunt. And then once we get that right, then the neighbors, to learn to love everyone else. Love is not an emotion. Love follows belief. I feel follows what you believe. What you believe is a choice. It's a decision you make. We all need Jesus in our lives. It starts with a relationship with Jesus. God has called us to live for others, not for ourselves. Unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. To be born again, think of it, the picture, a baby being born, and the moment that baby is born, who does the baby see? Their parents. They enter into an instant love relationship. And God says, I want you to be born again into an instant love relationship with me. I can change you. He can do the work within us when we are reborn into his kingdom. And if we submit to him and we submit to his word, our lives will change. I didn't always love people. I honestly didn't always love people. We did the ministry for so many years and I would be like, I am happy to be in a box. I'll go. I don't want to see anyone and go home. people to actually help people was not a problem, but the issues people had and how they would blame you for their stuff. I was like, I'm done. And as we got into the vision a number of years ago and I learned that we walk with people through their issues, I learned to love people properly. And now, it doesn't matter how contentious you are, we'll walk this together. I can argue just as I have my moments. Do you think I enjoy telling you I put the phone down? I didn't enjoy telling you that. I knew all your judgments that went, except you forgot when you did that. Yes, and we are not meant to do that. And I can remember feeling so free when I heard my own pastor share how she would hate people. I was like, you? She said, I hated people. I hated the ministry. I stuck my finger in people's faces and said, don't you dare call me the pastor's wife. And when I heard her say that, it was so freeing for me. Because you see, we get so stuck in what we do wrong. We get so stuck in our bad behavior, the devil just keeps us there with his big ugly ug. And he holds us down. And we can never get set free. And instead, God's saying, I didn't create you to be like that. You are more than this. And I want to say to you this morning as I close, you are more than you've been living. Your world is desperately waiting for you to get it, to get how much God loves you, so you can just begin to show his love to other people. It's not about you. It's not about your hurt feelings. It's not about what they, how they looked at you skew and what they said to you. You are bigger than that. You can change your family. God has called you to heal your family. And once you start doing that, you'll say, but I've got all this mess. Don't worry about your mess. I'll sort out your mess. Carry on. And he'll begin to do a work. We will go, Lord, I'm not worthy. He's like, I know, I'm sorting that out. Because he's God. For God so loved that he gave. Thank you.
is fault. We are the flavor bringing the salt. Every darkness we came to assault. We were made to set it ablaze, breaking chains to pray and praise. We were made to set it ablaze, breaking chains to pray and praise. So let's set it ablaze.
War has